The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Wednesday, December 13, 2023. Thousands of people gathered Wednesday at the Serafín Sánchez Revolution Square in the Cuban province of Santi Spíritus to demand peace and condemn the Zionist aggression against the Palestinian people. Young people, workers, national and foreign students marched from the Martyrs' Monument to the square in a massive rally of solidarity with the Palestinian people and condemnation of Israel's crimes. Abraham Sanchez, first secretary of the Youth Communist League, in the central words ratified that the dream of all Palestinians is to have an independent state and stressed that Cuba's support to the Palestinian cause is unconditional. Mohammad Mohsin, a medical student and descendant of a Palestinian family, expressed to Prensa Latina his repudiation of Israel's genocidal attacks against their brothers and sisters, and day by day children, women and men, innocent people die. Francis Mahui, representative of international Cuban solidarity organizations at the José Martí University, demanded a dignified response from the world to achieve the immediate cessation of the aggression and support the right of the Palestinian people to the creation of the state with its capital in Jerusalem. The first secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Cuba and president of the Republic, Miguel Díaz-Canel, led the presentation of awards to outstanding professionals in higher education on the island a few days before the celebration of Educators' Day in the country. By presidential decree, the Frank Pais Order of the First Degree was awarded to almost 20 professors, technical teachers, and managers of the Ministry of Higher Education for their trajectory in the integral formation of the new generations. On the social network X, the president of the Republic informed that at the ceremony, dozens of teachers who have devoted their lives to teaching received the José Té Medal and the Distinction for Cuban Education. Delivering the central words of the activity, the head of the Ministry of Education, Walter Baluja, recalled that the Commander-in-Chief, Fidel Castro Ruz, defined education as an indispensable part of the Cuban Revolution. In Cuba, December 22 was chosen as Educators' Day to commemorate the declaration of the archipelago as a territory free of illiteracy on that date in 1961. Gladys Bejarano Portela, Comptroller General of the Republic, at the 10th session of the Conference of States Parties to the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, reaffirmed Cuba's commitment to prevent and combat corruption as a priority for the state, the government, the people, and the principles they defend. Bejarano Portela, at the head of the Cuban delegation present in Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States, affirmed the importance of resolving the global structural causes of corruption that encourage crimes such as bribery, money laundering, and the transfer of assets of illicit origin. The official pointed out that the Cuban state is making efforts to raise awareness of the need to address this phenomenon in a comprehensive manner, involving all social actors, especially civil society, academia, trade unions, and the population. She said to firmly believe that public officials and managers must set an example for the people they serve, and that their behavior must contribute positively to the construction of the society being built for our children. Cuban Deputy Prime Minister Ines Maria Chapman denounced in Geneva, Switzerland, that the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by the United States is a flagrant, massive, and systematic violation of the human rights of the Cuban people. During her speech at the high-level event commemorating the 75th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Chapin said that in the current scenario of world crisis, the difficulties in her country are multiplying due to the criminal and illegal U.S. blockade. The Cuban Deputy Prime Minister said in Nix that during her speech at the event, she also expressed her rejection of the current international economic order because it is unjust, exclusive, and unsustainable. Chapman led the Cuban delegation and the meeting, which concluded Tuesday and was organized by the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. The Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda, Gaston Brown, and the new Cuban ambassador to that country, Sergio Martinez, expressed interest in continuing to strengthen bilateral cooperation, a media outlet reported. In a meeting held on Tuesday, Brown highlighted that Havana has been a partner to help develop human capacity through education and the provision of health personnel, while affirming that he will continue to collaborate with the island on international issues such as climate change. According to the Antiguan Newsroom site, the president assured that his government stands in solidarity with Cuba, particularly in the fight to eliminate the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by the United States on the Caribbean nation for more than 60 years. For his part, González pledged not only to maintain existing relations, but to do everything possible to improve them, to expand trade and economic development with the purpose of promoting the bilateral agenda, as well as to explore cultural exchanges. And in the international agenda, we have that the government of Nicaragua will inaugurate the photovoltaic power generation plant Dos Volcanes, an initiative that adds to projects of the Executive for the Exchange of the National Energy Matrix. As reported, the plant is located on Ometepe Island, west of the Maderas volcano, 2.8 kilometers from the town of Mérida in the Department of Grenada. In this first stage, the project is composed of 900 solar panels that will generate 300 kilowatts energy that represents 20% of the total demand of the island located in the Great Lake of Nicaragua. According to the information disclosed, the second stage of the project will be executed next year and is intended to cover 50% of the area's electricity demand. In this way, the Sandinista executive guarantees the supply of clean energy and the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, contributing to the care of the Maderas Volcano Biosphere Reserve. Meanwhile, Mexico will decide in February if it will apply the 40-hour workday that is currently being discussed in the Chamber of Deputies, but no definitive position has been taken until this day. The decision of the parliamentary coordinators to postpone until February the approval of the reform that would reduce the weekly working day from 6 to 5 days derived in a disagreement of a bloc of the ruling party Morena, which in turn caused a delay in yesterday's ordinary session. With a vote of all the coordinators, an agreement was approved to constitute a working group that will call for a new round of public consultations, which will delay the discussion of the reform until the next session in February. There are businessmen, such as the multimillionaire Carlos Slim, who opposed the reduction of working hours under the argument that the less working time, the less income for the worker or employee. On the other hand, medium and small businessmen have different opinions and assure that the reduction of working hours benefits the worker, not only because they spend more time with their family and solve many household problems, but also because the worker recovers the spent energy and is more productive. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.